Judiciary Committee for Thursday, February 22nd. We have four items listed on the agenda after measure introduction, but just for advice for those in the room, we're going to pull House Bill 2366. We're still trying to determine whether the language tweak that has been suggested ought to be worked through by reconsideration really is necessary. So we won't do that yet. And House Bill 2233, which was set for work session, the amendments are not back on yet, so it will not be worked today. But we will be working on House Bills 2340 and 2379. But before we go there, we have the a number of LCs for introduction. They are LCs 3524, 3706, 2859, 2356, and 3027, and 3617. Do I hear a motion to introduce these as committee bills on the understanding that this it says nothing about the merits or what ultimately will happen to these bills after introduction?
Mr. Chair, I move the LCs be put through as committee bills.
Representative Barker has moved that LCs 3524, 3706, 2859, 2356, 3027, 36, and 3617 be introduced as committee bills. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, those bills are introduced as committee bills. I'll now open a work session on House Bill 2340. Council Stanford.
Thank you, Chair McPherson and members of the committee. House Bill 2340 amends existing ORS 40.355 to provide that a defendant who's charged with a sex crime, and sex crime is defined in ORS 181.594, a defendant charged with a sex crime who testifies may be impeached by evidence that the defendant has been convicted of one or more sex crimes. And again, sex crimes is defined in that same statute, 181.594.
It's been some weeks, committee, since this bill was before us before, but it has not changed from before. And the impact, as I understand it, is that generally felony offenses, any felony offense, can be used to impeach the credibility of a witness under current law, but that a misdemeanor sex offense could not be used because doesn't rise to a felony level, and yet it would reflect on the credibility of a witness, particularly when that witness is the defendant who is preparing to take the stand to deny having committed the current offense with which he's charged. Any further questions or discussion about the bill? Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be supporting the bill, but I just want to make a comment for the record about perhaps being very cautious about changing the law when we can use misdemeanors for impeachment. I think that sex crimes are so serious, and I'm going to support this bill, but the purpose of impeachment is to address somebody's credibility, and therefore issues like fraud and crimes and misdemeanors that go to somebody's veracity make sense for impeachment. And I just think we need to move cautiously in this area to not expand away from the goal of impeachment, which is really to attack somebody's credibility. Well, for the record.
I think and a comment well taken. I mean, the purpose of impeachment for the prior offense isn't to apply greater punishment for the prior offense, it's to determine what the facts are of the current prosecution. Any further discussion? Do we hear a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2340 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Cameron moves House Bill 2340 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? If not, clerk will call the roll.
Representative
Bonamici. Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative
Hoff. Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Reed.
Aye.
Vice Chair Barker.
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnett.
Aye.
Chair McPherson.
Aye.
House Bill 2340 is moved to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Representative Cameron, would you like to carry that?
Sure.
Thank you. Close the work session on House Bill 2340 and open a work session on House Bill 2379. Council.
Thank you, Chairman, and members of the committee. House Bill 2379 relates to giving a district attorney the authority to treat what's presently felony unlawful possession of heroin or felony unlawful possession of ecstasy as a Class A misdemeanor. It arises until last session, Oregon separated controlled substances by schedule classification. Thus, whether a defendant possessed heroin, ecstasy, or marijuana, the charge was the same. Possession of a controlled substance, Schedule 1, PCS-1. Cocaine and methamphetamine possession would be charged as possession of a controlled substance, Schedule 2. This classification system made it difficult for Oregon to track prosecutions of specific drugs, and so in part due to this concern, in 2005, Oregon carved out specific statutes for each of the major controlled substances, cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine, marijuana, and ecstasy. House Bill 2379 arises to fix an unintended consequence of this reclassification. Present ORS 161.570 gives the district attorney the authority to treat any Class C non-person felony or certain Class B non-person felonies, possession of over an ounce of marijuana or PCS-1, as misdemeanors. So the authority to treat certain felonies as misdemeanors. After the reclassification, technically, the district attorney no longer has the authority to treat possession of heroin or possession of ecstasy as a misdemeanor. Those crimes used to be classified as PCS-1s, but now they have their own specific statutes. House Bill 2379 adds references to ecstasy and heroin to the list of crimes that the district attorney may treat as a Class A misdemeanor.
Committee, this is a fallout from some changes that were made as part of an overall approach to the methamphetamine problem in the last session, and Representative Krieger and I served on a work group that headed that effort up, and one of it was part of that effort, as Council just explained, was to track separately different drugs because there wasn't any way of identifying what the incidence of different types of prosecutions was. And so it was to split it apart, and just one of the inadvertent consequences was to remove this flexibility that the law had previously contained. Representative Flores.
Thank you. Question and clarification, please. Is the purpose of this legislation to primarily be able to track these offenses?
Representative Flores, no. The tracking is already set apart. The tracking, I believe, is accomplished through giving each of the main drugs their specific statutes. That's how the tracking works. This is to allow the DA to treat what we call PCSs, or possessions of these drugs, as a misdemeanor rather than a felony. And I can explain that further, at least how that works in Multnomah County, if you would like.
Thank you. And follow up.
Please.
Then, for clarification, a felony is more serious of a crime than a misdemeanor. And we are putting these two classifications of controlled substances into a lesser crime category. And I would appreciate some further discussion on this because I'm hearing from people who want to know if this committee is just brain dead or stupid to be reducing the classification of these particular drugs to a lesser category.
Thank you, Representative Flores. I'm speaking from my experience as a district attorney in Multnomah County as to how this works. And first of all, this doesn't make it automatic that these crimes are misdemeanors. They wouldn't be. It allows the district attorney, if the district attorney wants to charge them as a misdemeanor, it's up to the district attorney. The defense has no say or control over this at all. So it's up to the DA. That's the first important point to make. The way it happens in practice in Multnomah County is that what are called residue cases are treated as misdemeanors. And what I mean by that is
Let's say that there is a person that is found in with a meth pipe or a heroin needle after legal contact with police, and there's a consent search or whatever, and the person has a meth pipe on them, but the pipe is just got burnt meth residue. There's no sort of independent methamphetamine. It's just meth residue. That is difficult to perform what's called a NIC test on. NIC test is something that officers in the field, and there are people way more experienced up here than me talking about this, officers in the field can perform these NIC tests to be able to determine what a specific drug is. It's really difficult to do that with these residue amounts. So where a person just has a pipe with some residue, in Multnomah County, we will generally treat those as misdemeanor offenses versus a felony offense. And so that would apply with heroin. With heroin, it would generally be a needle. I haven't really come across many misdemeanor residue level ecstasy cases. What that would probably be if there were a person had ecstasy pills in a bag and somehow some of the pills had broken apart a little bit and there was just some like tiny crumbs in the bottom of a bag. Those sorts of, that would be eligible for misdemeanor treatment. It's up to the district attorney. The way it happens in Multnomah County is if that's the only charge against the person, the only thing would be the crack pipe that you have with a little bit of residue, or the heroin needle with a little bit of residue, or this bag with a tiny bit of residue. No other charges, no other felony charges. Then you could be it could be prosecuted as a misdemeanor. It helps the district attorney in Multnomah County because of being overwhelmed with the number of possession cases that we have. By making a case a misdemeanor, it's eligible for what's called community court up in Multnomah County. And I can, what's interesting, I'm sorry if this answer is too long-winded, but it's an interesting issue. Yes, technically, when you look at the definition, obviously, in terms of severity or seriousness, felony is more serious than misdemeanor. It is. But if you look at it in terms of like actual effect in some ways on the defendant in terms of numbers of days that a defendant may serve in jail as a result, you know, in my experience, people that go through the community court program will oftentimes serve more jail than what they would on a felony conviction. A felony, if you look at the sentencing grid for the crime of possession, if I don't have my grid with me, but felony possession of drugs is always a level one. Representative Wisnett has it right there. It's a level one offense, always, whether you're the worst felon in history or whether this is your first time ever. The sentence is the same, always. And the max jail that you're supposed to be able to get on somebody for felony possession is, this lower number means 30 days, where there's actually an administrative rule that says a third of that. So it's like 10 days. And you don't, it just doesn't happen. You don't get jail, really, for felony offenses. Whereas on the misdemeanor level, when somebody goes to the community court program and doesn't comply with the treatment that they're sentenced to, they do. They do time. I can expand on that as much as you'd like, but I hope that's helpful.
Mr. Chair, thank you, counsel. I think it is helpful, and I think it's helpful to have on the record for the clarification for the communities as they look to us to in making this decision. And so then it's in the DA's discretion, primarily in residue cases, and I understand the discussion there, and that the potential for service then, time served for a misdemeanor based on a residue case could ultimately be a greater time or if as much as or a greater time than a felony.
Yes.
Conviction.
In practice, yes.
Thank you.
Representative Wisner?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks, Matt, for the test and clarification. I'm like Representative Flores. I mean, I can't believe the emails I've gotten on this, so, and I'm not sure that by passing this, the public understands all that. It would never understand that.
Right.
I guess so my question is, what are the consequences if we don't pass this?
Representative Wisnett, Chair McPherson, the right now, as the law is written, for all these other drugs, the district attorney can, presently has the authority for cocaine, for methamphetamine, which is generally regarded as the most serious in some ways, certainly gets the most publicity. For cocaine, for methamphetamine, the district attorney presently has that authority. And in Multnomah County, before I took to treat it as a misdemeanor. But again, it is only in the circumstances in Multnomah County where that's the only charge you got. So if you got somebody who has heroin and ecstasy, or heroin and cocaine, what's commonly referred to as a speedball, combining the two, that's not eligible because you got more than one potential felony. So no, you wouldn't get it. We're talking about just one count only. But the consequences, I would say, of not passing this is these two drugs, heroin and ecstasy, district attorneys would lack the same flexibility that they have with other, some ways, more serious drugs. Or more problematic drugs is a better, what I mean by that, I'm referring to methamphetamine versus ecstasy, that at least impact on the community seems to be more extreme. So we have the district attorneys have the authority for ecstasy, not for ecstasy right now. They have the authority for methamphetamine, for cocaine. If this isn't passed, there'd be this strange sort of dichotomy where they would not have the authority, technically, for heroin and ecstasy.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Matten. That's, again, thank you for those comments and based upon your experience, which I think is very important. However, wouldn't you... The caseload for these two drugs is probably a lot less than meth, so the impact as far as that is the workload. You know, I'm just having a tough time with this. Maybe if the statement had been to make it equal to these other drugs, you know, but people are reading this as, you know, that we're, you know, reducing the penalty for possession of these two very bad drugs, and one is, I think the one is growing more popular with the young people, the ecstasy. So,
Representative Wisnett, it is. I mean, ecstasy is a problem with young. That's mainly a younger person type drug, certainly. I can't address how the statute is exactly or how the bill is worded, but beyond what I've already said.
Representative Cameron.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe Council Stanford can help me with this too. Currently, drug court eligibility, I'm just trying to look at this from a big picture type thing. That person who enters this narrow circumstance you're talking about today, if they are charged with felony, is there a difference in whether they can, I'm thinking of Marion County here and the success of our drug court, is there a difference in whether they can go into drug court based on the level of charges that they're entering the system in? Do you know anything about that?
Representative Cameron, I can address, again, just my experience in Multnomah County. And there are different counties have different terms for different alternative courts. In Multnomah County, there is what's called stop court, is the primary treatment-based felony drug level program. It's like a diversion program for felony drug possession cases, and it has its own eligibility criteria. That's stop in Multnomah County. In Multnomah County, then also, for misdemeanor drug cases, you have what's called community court, which is an entirely different program. My experience, to most simply answer your question, I could talk for hours about this, but I'll say to most simply answer your question, whether it's a felony or whether it's a misdemeanor, there are diversionary programs that a person is eligible for. In Multnomah County, stop court is felony, community court is misdemeanor, is generally how it's worked. There are treatment options either way, diversionary options either way.
Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the staff measure summary at the bottom paragraph refers to ORS 161-570, and it provides the district attorney, da-da-da-da, and possession of an ounce of marijuana as a Class A misdemeanor. You go down to the next one, it goes back to talking about ecstasy and heroin. What is the effect of this then on marijuana? As soon as we get over an ounce of marijuana, I've got a concern. In fact, I've got a concern, period, but we're not addressing that. It's like two different subjects that one's brought up, but it isn't carried forward as to the result of what we did last session and what this bill would do to it.
Representative Krieger, what ORS 161.570 is existing law, of course, and it is the statute that provides district attorneys have certain authority to treat felonies, what are called non-person felonies, quote, victimless felonies, as misdemeanors right now. So any Class C non-person felony, the DA can treat as a misdemeanor instead of a felony. And again, it's the DA has the option. It's not the defense attorney that, or a defendant who gets to control this at all. Or certain Class B non-person felonies. And there are two that are articulated there, if I remember. Let me look at the statute here. Possession of over an ounce of marijuana is one Class B non-person felony that can be treated as a Class A misdemeanor. As you know, right now, possession of less than an ounce of marijuana isn't even a misdemeanor. It's a violation. So when you get over an ounce of marijuana, you're at the felony level. So there is kind of a strange system for marijuana laws in Oregon where less than an ounce violation, not even criminal, an ounce or over, felony. There isn't this intermediate step at all. And so under ORS 161.570, if the DA, in the DA's discretion, felt that it was appropriate to treat possession of over an ounce of marijuana as a misdemeanor, they could do so. And that's existing law.
Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to just talk about why there's this perception out there that this bill is lowering the penalty for unlawful possession of heroin or ecstasy. And I think some of it might relate to when we had the public hearing on this bill and Mr. Rogers came to testify, and he had a very compelling story. He was a meth addict and he talked about the seriousness of that. But I don't think that his story, this bill, would affect what happened to him, because according to Counsel Stanford, meth is already in the category where the district attorney has discretion to charge it as a misdemeanor. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of us here question that there's a serious problem with the meth epidemic, but I don't think that this bill addresses that at all. What it does is gives more discretion to district attorneys in what they're doing. It doesn't say that possession of heroin or unlawful possession of ecstasy is a misdemeanor. It says the district attorney has discretion to do that in certain cases. And I think that in light of the workload in the cases that the district attorney handles, they need to have that discretion to look at cases on a case-by-case basis, especially when it's already that way for meth. And so I'm going to support the bill and hope that we can get the message out there to the public that we aren't lowering penalties. We're just giving the district attorneys the tools they need to do their job. And again, I found Mr. Rogers' testimony and story very compelling, but I don't think that this bill relates to his situation.
Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I, when I first saw these kind of things, I mean, where people are really getting off the hook, and then they started what they call community court. And I know you'll find it hard to believe, but I was very skeptical about community court. And I thought it was some kind of another joke. And those have been very, very effective in getting people's lives turned around. And this, I think, will funnel more people in there where we will not only save the person, but save ourselves the victimization on our community and the more, more costs later down the line. And I got some of the emails and all to it, but I think this just brings things into line the way they should be, and I think Council's done an excellent job of explaining that, and I'm going to support the bill.
Any further discussion? Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2379 to the floor with the due pass.
Representative Barker moves House Bill 2379 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion of the motion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bonamici.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Kopp.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Reed.
Aye.
Vice Chair Barker.
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnett.
Aye.
Chair McPherson.
Aye.
House Bill 2379 is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Representative Barker, would you carry that?
As long as I can have counsel sitting on my lap.
Okay. we will guarantee you whatever you need. That concludes the work session on House Bill 2379 and concludes our agenda for Thursday, February 22nd.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Flores.
Thank you. And before we left our official position here, I was just wondering, and I realize it's probably outside the norm of normal committee practice, but because of the public discussion and obvious scrutiny of this particular piece of our work, I was wondering if it would be something that you might consider crafting some sort of a
press release,
opinion piece or press release that we could issue as a committee just to affirm for the public, as has been stated, that this is a tool for district attorneys, not lessening but even funneling, as Representative Barker suggests, more people into the system for the assistance that they would need. Yeah. In these controlled substance crimes.
I think it's a great suggestion, Representative Flores, and here's what I would suggest. Why don't we have counsel prepare a paragraph that we can use in our individual responses to the people who are communicating with us, and then as we see what kind of attention this issue is drawing, whether some more public press release or other kinds of communication to the broader public, but it would be an order, we could certainly consider that as well.
Thank you for considering that.
Okay. Thank you, and thank you for your attendance. We're adjourned.